look. As we mentioned, this has been a crisis, a week of crisis for several of our families and for this world. We've had so many critically ill in the hospital. It's hard on preachers because we can't be up there with them in the midst of all of it in this thing. And it's hard on families too, because only one family member can be with them in most of the hospitals anyway. And people fighting for their life, these deaths that we've had just within, just one after another here in 24 hours. We've witnessed that devastating explosion in Beirut and so many lives lost. I think I read one account, 300,000 people are homeless because of that explosion. And now there's unrest in that nation. We've got churches that were affected in Lebanon, in Beirut, and the Christian family there. How's that city going to recover? 600 deaths now in Oklahoma from COVID-19 and just the decisions that parents and teachers are having to make about opening schools and all the division and trying to figure out how to navigate through all this. And then in addition, I've never seen such a strange time when everything, including the response to a health crisis, has been politicized, and that's by both sides. I'm not finding any innocent parties in this. And I'll be honest with you, preparing sermons then in the midst of this, I'm constantly, and maybe I shouldn't, but I'm constantly thinking, well, I can't say that because somebody's going to misinterpret that, or they'll think I'm talking about this, or they'll think I'm supporting that, or I'm resisting this, or I'm endorsing that, or I'm supporting that conspiracy theory, or whatever. And I'm going to tell you, it's paralyzing, and it's exhausting, and it's overwhelming. And I know some of you are going to say, Pastor, you need to not worry about it and just speak the truth, but that's because you assume that I'm going to speak what you want me to say. When I speak the truth. And when I do, you're going to go, I can't believe you said that. I know. That was my point. That's what's making me crazy, because in the midst of that is my position that I want people to hear about Jesus. And if you can't hear over all the other stuff out there, then I haven't been able to do what my mission was, and that is to point people to Jesus. I worked on a sermon Thursday evening and night, and Friday morning I said, that's not what the Lord wants, and I put that away, and I'm just going to share this little thought. It's not much of a sermon, but I believe it's the word for us today. And then with all the stuff that happened and the people dying and things, it was like, no, we got to do this. So I want you to, we're going to start here in Ephesians chapter 6 in a scripture that most of you are pretty familiar with. Yesterday morning when we got the word about, we'd gotten an update about Greg Davis, and then right after that, another update about somebody in the hospital, and then we got this word about Fred Esch that had passed away suddenly and unexpectedly, and it was like, my goodness, what in the world is going on? And Sarah sent me a text and said, I think we're under some kind of attack. And I said, we are. We've been saying that for the last few days. We're in a battle. It's what the Bible says, right? So Ephesians chapter 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's where we are, standing against the schemes of the devil. I titled this message, Stand Your Post. In the military, when you have guard duty, you're to stand your post, right? Jack Nicholson said, you need me on that wall. So somebody's got to be on that wall to stand their post, to guard. Take up your position and be on guard. And we have a responsibility as believers to stand our post and to stand against the devil's schemes, the Bible says. We're going to have to pray as never before and stand our post. We need intercessors as never before to stand their post. So Paul continues, he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet shod or fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. pray and always keep on praying. Pray. It's one of the keys. There's a battle going on. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't get distracted in the battle. All right? Some people, we're in a battle, and some of you are trying to get the wrinkles out of your blanket in the tent, you know. Just grab your weapon and stand your post. Just get out there, all right? Don't worry about that. Well, you know, that guy's not wearing his helmet correctly. Just get your gun and get to your post, and don't worry about his helmet, you know. Let's just do this. But we get distracted with stuff. And so listen to what I'm telling you, and then you can decide whether you like this truth or not. I'm just going to say it. The real battle this morning, the real battle isn't about masks or vaccines or Bill Gates or Dr. Fauci or Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. The battle is about whether Jesus and his word and his kingdom will rule and reign in our heart and in our life, or will something or someone else take that place, all right? The real battle is whether we're going to keep living like Jesus and acting like Jesus and treating people like Jesus wants us to treat them and maintain the priorities of the kingdom of heaven and live an other-centered life as servants of the Lord. Are we going to just act like the devil and embrace the values of this world and just make it all about me and mine and my comfort and how I feel about all this? Thank you. Thank you. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but there is a spiritual battle to be fought. It's about the kingdom. Friends, don't lose sight of that. We're having skirmishes over stuff that aren't going to matter in the face of eternity. All right? They're really not. Man, we're dying on hills that we don't need to die on and fighting against God's people when there's an enemy that stands against us. We need to stand in the right place. Stand your post. And let's guard the heart and the kingdom of God and the values of the kingdom. It's not, there's a spiritual battle. It's about the kingdom. It's about eternity. It's about living by his word. It's about the souls of men and women and their eternal destiny. So don't lose sight in the midst of all the politicizing of everything. Don't lose sight of what we're ultimately fighting for. Don't lose sight of what matters, what's eternal, and what is truly, truly important. And one of the ways we're going to battle, one of the keys to overcoming is going to be to pray. Paul says, pray and keep on praying. Be alert and keep on praying. I'll tell you what, if this season hasn't activated you to prayer, then we're missing part of the key of this thing, all right? We need to pray, and we need to keep on praying. Be alert and keep on praying. We've put some dates on the calendar in September, a special season of prayer and fasting that we'll tell you more about here in just in the coming weeks. But we're calling the church to pray. I'm telling you to take your stand, to stand your post and pray and keep on praying. It's too important. It's too important. Eternal things are at stake, and we have to pray. So we're going to pray in just a minute, but I want to show you something. So turn quickly to the book of Nehemiah, from Ephesians 6 to Nehemiah. These are favorite stories and passages here. Nehemiah is the story of the Jewish exiles. They've been taken from the southern kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar conquered Babylon, took them off to Babylon. Now the regime has changed, and so waves of exiles have returned to Jerusalem. They tried to rebuild, but anyway, Nehemiah hears the story that years have gone by and the walls are still in disrepair. The gates are burned and they haven't repaired the walls. He grieves over it, and the king then says, well, go, just go. You're no good to me. And so Nehemiah returns, and Ezra, Nehemiah to help get the walls back up. And Nehemiah comes to lead the people, and when he does, opposition begins. And let me just tell you, every good work is going to face opposition. You can mark that down. You can put that in ink somewhere, because that's how it works. No good deed goes unpunished is what some wonk said, or I don't know who said that, maybe, but it's the truth. And so every good deed is going to have some opposition. Yeah, but it's like, but I was so certain everybody was going to like this. Yeah, that's not how that's going to work. So all of us are going to face it. If you decide, it means somebody's going to go, yeah, I wouldn't do that. Well, I'm sorry. But anyway, so you can't make a decision without facing opposition. I hate it, but that's the truth. It's amazing I've survived as a pastor all these years for somebody that hates opposition. I'm still here. Whew. Can you hold on? Can you just hold on a little while longer? Nehemiah 4, the opposition comes in the form of these two fellows from Samaria, apparently, Sanballat and Tobiah, critics of Nehemiah and the Jews. Chapter 4 says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah is telling the story, it's his narrative. When he heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed, and he ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was always at his side, said, what they're building, if even a fox climbed on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Opposition comes to all of us. And often, just like this, it comes in the form of ridicule and doubt. And often it comes in the form of self-doubt. The enemy wants you, first of all, to doubt your decisions. And so he says, what are those feeble Jews doing? Whatever made you think that was the right thing to do? It may come in the form of self-doubt. So some of you teachers getting ready to go back in the classroom may be thinking, what am I doing? How in the world are we going to be able to make this work? We can't do this. We can't even agree. The teachers can't agree, and the principals, and then we got the parents, and then we got the kids. How are we going to do this? What was I thinking? We can't pull this off. And so many decisions being made during this season, and it's all unknown. None of us have been this way before. Let me say it again. Give everybody some grace, would you? Give the doctors some grace. Well, they said one thing, and then 2 months later, they said something else. That's because they've never seen that before. And so they're learning something, too. It's not all a conspiracy. They're trying to figure this out. Well, why didn't you do this? Because we'd never had to do this before. So we were figuring it out on the fly, just like you were. We're trying to pastor a church virtually. Well, why didn't you know? Because we've never done that before. Right? I mean, I never had to do this. Well, how come we don't have this? Because we've got an ordinance in town that says we're supposed to be socially distant when we're inside this building right now. Look, there's a whole lot of stuff at play. Just give some grace to everybody, would you? Just give everybody a little bit of grace. Come on, thank you. Whew. Give the pastor some slack or whatever. I was in Enid last week. I said, let me tell you, your pastor's doing a great job or whatever. They looked just like you. They were all spaced out in every other row, and they had masks on. Some did, some didn't. It's everywhere, folks. We're not picking on anybody. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And again, thank God we're open and we can be here, and thank God you can watch online. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for all that, but we just gotta apply some grace to everybody. But we doubt our decisions, and then the enemy makes us doubt our ability. Sanballat said, can they restore their wall? Will they restore their wall? You guys can't do this. You can't figure this out, and doubt is rampant everywhere. We can't figure this out. Parents are thinking, we can't do this. We can't homeschool our kids, or we can't work this out, or we can't arrange the schedules. Or again, teachers are saying, we can't do this. You can't pastor in these conditions. We can't educate in these conditions. You can't build with these materials, and we doubt our ability. And then the enemy makes you doubt your destiny. So Sanballat says, will they ever offer sacrifice in that flimsy little thing they're building and calling a temple? Look at what they're building, how feeble. It's not the same. Oh, sure, they may get back, but those walls aren't as thick as they used to be, and those gates aren't like they used to be. Well, I just don't even want to be there because it's not like it used to be. Hello, hello. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. You know, the older I get, well, then it's kind of like, what are they going to do? But anyway. I got my Medicare card in my pocket, buddy. You're right. Nehemiah had to stand up and go, you're right, it doesn't look the same. You're right, it's not the same. You're right. I mean, I had it made, man. I was living in the king's palace in Babylon, okay, but I came back here. Folks, it's not the same, but don't doubt your destiny. God's in this with us. That's what Nehemiah's telling the people. God's still in this. He told us to get the walls up and put the gates on, and he's going to show us how to do it, and we're going to win this, and Sanballat and Tobiah are going to go home before it's over with. You just stay in here. We're going to get this. How's this going to turn out? I don't know. And all that doubt then brings discouragement, and so Nehemiah tells us, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble, we just can't rebuild the wall. Their strength began to give out. They were exhausted and they were discouraged. They were tired of the doubts. They were tired of second guessing every decision and their actions and motives being questioned and suspected by others. Nehemiah had people outside the city that were grumbling about what was happening inside the city, and he had workers that were unhappy about the way that was going and who's going to get what. And there was so much rubble and so much trouble, toil and trouble. And then verse 11 tells us their enemies began to threaten them and made plans to infiltrate the lines. And they said, we'll sneak in, and before you know it, we'll kill all of you in a sneak attack. It was just too much. So what do we do? And Nehemiah said, they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God, and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Come on, that's the key. But we prayed to our God. Everything was out of sort, and it didn't look right, and it didn't feel right, and we couldn't figure it out, but we prayed to our God, and that was the answer. Nehemiah did what he knew to do. He prayed, and he posted a guard. He prayed, and he called on the Lord for help and intervention and mercy. Hear us, O God, he says, for we're despised. Hear us, Lord, because we're in trouble. Hear us because we don't know how to do this. We've never done it before. We don't know the way forward. We need your help. We're depending on you. And they prayed to their God. And Nehemiah prayed. And then the Bible records, he said, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and their spears and their bows. Remember, the armor of God we read about in Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And Nehemiah called the people to stand their post. Take your weapon, take the word of God, and stand your post and begin to pray and to begin to call on God. And he looked to see that everyone was in their place. And then Nehemiah said, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. And from that day on, half the people worked and the other half were on guard, standing their post. And they prayed and they worked and they supported one another. They worked shoulder to shoulder and family by family, working for a common cause. And they outline it all there. And this part was built by this family, and this part was built by this family. And they worked to rebuild the walls and the gates so the city and its inhabitants and the temple of God would be safe from the enemy. They had each other's back. I got your six, right? I got your back. I'm there. You watch and I'll work, and then you watch and I'll pray, and we'll get this done. Friends, I'm telling you this morning, we need to take up the word of God, our sword, and we need to stand our post, and we need to pray, and we need to intercede for one another. And Nehemiah 6 tells us that the wall was rebuilt in 52 days, and when their enemies heard that it was completed in 52 days, the surrounding nations lost their confidence because they realized the work had been done with the help of God. And friends, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side of all this. I'm not trying to predict. We're just trying to get through this week. I don't have to know what it's going to look like 6 months out, but I know how we're going to get through this. By prayer and by putting on the whole armor of God, by praying a little more, by holding on to his truth, his word, by praying some more, by building each other up instead of attacking one another and opposing one another, by praying a little more, and whatever it looks like on the other side of this, I know Jesus is going to still be there with us because he's never left us. He'll never forsake us. And I believe eventually the enemies of God and God's people will have to look and say, I didn't expect that. Sure looks like God was in that somehow or another and worked it for good, and people kept coming to Jesus in the midst of all it. And they'll have to say they came through this with the help of God. If you're doubting your decisions this morning, ask God, because James 1 says he gives wisdom without reproach, without saying, how come you didn't know the answer to that? Ask him and he'll give you wisdom. If you're doubting your ability, Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. If you're doubting your destiny, listen, Paul says in Romans 8, he's going to cause all these things to work together for our good because we love God and we're called according to his purpose. But I'm just so wore plumb smooth out, as we say in Oklahoma. Listen, Isaiah 40 says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak, and even the young men stagger and fall, but they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and they'll mount up with wings as eagles, and they'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. And so we can stand in that today. We can stand our post and know that God's going to help us. We're going to get through this together. So I'm telling you, you're not alone. We're going to stand our post. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to remember that the Lord who is great and awesome, Nehemiah said. Remember, he's great and awesome, and we're going to fight for what's right. We're fighting for our families. We're fighting for our children. We're going to fight this good fight. So I want us to pray, and I know it's late, and so you're just going to have to forgive me for going late. I thought I had it, but I didn't. I want us to pray this morning, and if you're physically able to do this, I felt my spirit was supposed to do this a few weeks ago, and the time wasn't right. But I want us to just kind of surround this place, and not everybody maybe is able to stand. Come here, Debbie, stand your post, darling. I want you to stand right here. I want you to be that far away. Hey, it's the James gang. Come stand your post, you guys. Spread out this way. Sergeant. She was a sergeant, wasn't she? Are you able to stand with him? You guys, take your post. Gary, take your post. Y'all take your post. See if you can just find a spot there. You don't have to touch anybody, but just move to the wall where we can just spread out along that wall. If you're not able to stand, don't go. If you don't want to stand that close to anybody, you don't have to. But if you can see a spot there where you can kind of be in there, and come along the front too. We're going to just surround the place. Yeah, you can surround those walls, and then you can be up here. We're going to take a minute to pray. And then we got to get out of here. We got to rub down the handles or whatever it is we got to do. But anyway, I thank you for doing this. And don't feel bad if you're not standing out there. It's fine. I just want us to take a minute to pray. I said before, these folk in the hospital, Greg and Renee and Dorothy and these Joe, they need a miracle of healing. They need something to happen. I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for, well, we don't have much time, but I want you to pray for this nation. I want you to pray for this city. I want you to pray again for those teachers. I want you to pray for families that are being torn apart in the midst of this by all the politicizing of everything. I pray for whatever it is God puts on your heart to pray for this morning. But I want us to pray. I want the devil to see us, and I want Jesus to hear us, to know that we're standing our post and we're calling on God to help us. Would you just pray? We're going to take 4 minutes here to just intercede today. So, Father, we lift our voice to you as a church. We move to the wall, Lord, like Nehemiah had people stationed on that wall. And some are stationed in families, some singles, some married, some grandparents, some new parents, some, Lord, doesn't matter. We're standing our post. We declare it today as the people of God, as Carbondale Assembly of God, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're standing our post. Let the enemy take note that the people of God are praying. Let every enemy, let every doubt about our ability, every doubt about our destiny in this thing, our doubt about the decisions we've had to make, perhaps as educators or as parents or as pastors or business leaders or employers. Can we keep everybody? Do we shut down production? All these decisions that are having to be made, Lord, and we doubt every decision, and we don't know what the future's going to be, but we dispel the doubt this morning in the name of Jesus, and we declare that there is victory. And there is wisdom. If we lack wisdom, we ask of the Father, and He gives us the wisdom we need. We'll have the direction. We'll have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We'll know the next step to take. We won't have to lean to our own understanding. We will acknowledge you in all our ways. You will make our path straight. You'll show us the way forward. Lord, we pray healing and strength over the households of this congregation, those that are in the hospital today. We pray for healing. I pray for a miracle of healing, Lord, for Greg today, for Renee, Lord, for Dorothy, in the name of Jesus, for Joe, Lord, for others in the hospital. I believe you today for a miraculous intervention to turn it around in the name of Jesus. For these who's lost loved ones in recent days, God, I pray that the God of all comfort would wrap your arms about those people, Lord. Whisper to them again that you are the resurrection and the life. And because we have hope in you, we're going to see those loved ones again. They're already rejoicing in your presence. Isaiah said the righteous are swept away in death because the days are evil. Lord, you've taken those folk on home, and you're trusting us to be able to battle on through. God, give us the strength we need to fight every battle, to see every foe defeated as we stand, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, God, I believe you for victories to be won. I pray your peace over these families. I pray peace in families. Lord, there's strife. There's division out there, and let families experience the peace of God that passes understanding. Oh, Lord, I pray for prosperity. I pray for businesses to open back up. I pray for folks in this church that have been laid off or furloughed. I pray that the financial needs are met in the name of Jesus. Lord, that the provision will be there. Oh, God, help us, Lord, as we stand together. Don't let anybody get swallowed up and feel lost in this. Folks that are battling depression or mental illness in the midst of this, and it's just exacerbated by being alone. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for freedom in their mind, healing to be restored in their thoughts in the name of Jesus. Somebody, you're watching from home this morning and there's despair in your heart. You've struggled. You're struggling now with depression, struggling, feeling so alone, struggling with mental illness, struggling with voices and thoughts that are not yours, that you just think, I don't know, it's driving me out of my mind. Listen to me this morning. The God of grace and comfort is right there with you. Don't doubt it. He's there with you. God is with you in the midst of your struggle. He's there to bring you hope. He is there with you. He's going to touch you. He's going to help you. We're praying for you this morning. We're standing our post and we're praying for you. Yes, for you right now. We're praying in agreement. Lord, bring them hope. Bring them peace in their mind and peace in their spirit, peace in their physical body. Lord, let it be as the blessing of God comes into their heart and encourages them today. And now, folks, could we just give God thanks that He hears the cry of His people today? Lord, we bless you and thank you because we believe you've heard our cry today. We believe you've heard our voice and you're worthy of our praise today. Whatever else is going on in this world, you are always going to be worthy of our praise. And Lord, we pledge to you, this is not just something we're going to do on a Sunday morning, but we're going to stand our post. We're going to take up that responsibility to pray and intercede for our church and for our brothers and sisters, our wives and husbands, our sons and daughters, our friends, our families, our neighborhood, our city, our mayor, our president, our governor, whatever, we don't care, Democrat, Republican, we're going to pray, Lord, because we need your help. God, come rescue us. Bring peace, bring hope, Lord. God, help the people in Beirut this morning. Bring them peace and fill their hearts with hope. Let the church, let it be their finest hour as they proclaim that Jesus is the hope and Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. God, help us in the midst of it all that we can walk in victory this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the call of the Lord is a call to prayer. It's a call of urgency. It's a call to fast and to pray. It's a call to be faithful, to take that stand and to stand against the schemes of the enemy. The Spirit calls the church to pray and to wait upon the Lord, to put your trust in Him. You can rest in Him, and so call upon Him today. Rest in Him and know that the Lord will indeed show you the way through. The days are difficult indeed, but not for the Lord. His hand is not small, short, or diminished. His power has not been weakened, but the Lord will lead you in victory if you'll call upon Him and trust in Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I believe that's a word from the Lord for us today, that your power will be strong in our behalf. We will trust you. We will rest in you. We will serve you. And Lord, we're going to pray. In the midst of these hours, we're going to pray and believe for miraculous things to happen in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. I don't have a mic, so say it loud.
Church.
Amen.
God has spoken and it shall come to pass. Yes, it's stormy, but the winds will not always blow. Something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
God's church is coming forth, shaken to the roots and standing firm. And
Amen.
Strong.
Amen. Amen. She started out saying what the Lord said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And she's right. The wind's blowing, or the Spirit's right. The wind's blowing and things are going to be shaken. The Bible says that everything can be shaken, will be shaken. But trust me, coming through this thing, the church is still going to be standing. Hallelujah. We may look a little different. Ira Stanfield wrote that song about, I may not look like much when I get there, but I'm going to make it through somehow. We may look a little different, but we're going to get there. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for saying amen at all the right times. It made me feel a little better, like I may have a job next Sunday too. Pray for us. Pray for these families that have lost loved ones this week. May the peace of the Lord be upon you. Hallelujah. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Pastor Sarah and Pastor Brittany here with some announcements for the week of August the 9th. Hey, this last Wednesday, we got to start back on most of our Wednesday services. We had New Community back in the house. We had Arc Park. We had Carbondale Kids. And the choir was even back practicing and working on their new stuff. It was such a great night. We partied in the parking lot with snow cones and pizza and got to fellowship outside. So much fun. But more is coming. So this Wednesday, all of those services will be offering in person and their online counterparts. The homecoming service with Pastor Phil and myself will remain online only for this Wednesday. But here's the really exciting news for those of you who are coming in person this Wednesday night. Wednesday night dinner makes its return.
Yay!
Right? So Paula Hooper and her kitchen crew are going to be here making dinner available. But listen up, because this is going to be different. Dinner will be to-go style dinner. And so you will be able to pick up your to-go dinner at the close of your service. So this means you must be present to eat. So at the end of your service, in whatever service you're in, New Community, Carbondale Youth, Carbondale Kids, Arc Park, the choir rehearsal, in those rooms, you'll be able to pick up your to-go dinner and be able to take that home and enjoy Wednesday night dinner once again.
Yay, and it's Paula's food. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm so excited to not have to drive through and get somebody else's food. We have all missed Paula's goodness.
It is going to be really exciting.
Yes.
The other thing that you need to know is that next Sunday night, August the 16th, will be our next outdoor prayer gathering at 7 p.m. on the east side parking lot. And we will, just everybody that comes, bring a lawn chair, and we will be together for a time of worship and a time of prayer.
These have actually become some of my favorite services. There is an amazing breeze most of the time. This week will prove me wrong because I said that. But it is such a sweet spirit of God's presence out there. And people get to come to this service who aren't comfortable coming to others. It's just so wonderful. And that this next one, we are actually going to honor our honor stars who have worked so hard in the midst of a pandemic to be able to finish their honor star program. We're going to celebrate them. It's going to look a little different than our previous celebrations, but we're going to honor them. You'll get to hear a little bit from each of them. We'll have pre-packaged cookies and bottled water after it's over, so you can grab a little treat, walk around, tell them how proud you are of them. It's going to be such a great time to get to honor three of our honor stars.
So come for worship and prayer. Stay for the honor star crowning next Sunday night. It's going to be fantastic. So thanks, Carbondale. Whether you're online or in person, Carbondale remains a place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace for all the people. We love you guys.